On 882 6PR, this is Peter Bell.
It is 12:06 on Monday the 28th of July. Hope you had a great weekend. Hopefully your footy team won, although there weren't too many games over the weekend with that split round. Of course, disappointing for the Eagles on Friday night. Seems like an eternity since that game. And, of course, most of the fallout has been surrounding the Tyrone Vickery hit on Dean Cox. Look, there was a bit of argy-bargy before that, but I don't think any argy-bargy really excuses that sort of act. And we'll be talking about it in the Monday panel, just about, look, it's a massive cultural shift if we started, you know, the yellow card, red card, send-off sort of rule, but it does seem that West Coast were penalised massively on the weekend, perhaps not as much as usually would be the case because of the fact that it was wet and whatever else, and Dean Cox, the ruckman, they perhaps were a little bit tall at that stage anyway, but anyhow, it's a bit of a conversation starter, isn't it? As I said, hope you had a great weekend. We've got a big show lined up for you, and we want you to be a part of it, as always. 9221882 is the talkback number to call. You can SMS 19999677, or you can email me, pbell@6pr.com.au. Did you realise, people, that on Friday, you can no longer sign for your purchases with the old credit card? You need a PIN. Russell Zimmerman is PINWISE spokesman. He's going to be on the program in just a little while. Also, we're going to talk about the release of a new book about economics. Now, usually, I would think, not really my biggest area of interest, economics. A bit dry, you know, the old supply and demand, all that stuff, money, exchange rates. But an article written by Shane Wright in The West. Some really interesting sort of issues. Statistically speaking, we're going to speak to the author of the book, and the book is The Economics of Just About Everything, Andrew Lee. He's coming onto the program later on. The Monday panel after one, and plenty more to get our teeth into, but the big issue also, or the big issue for me after a weekend is, I really wish the weekend went for an extra day. Wouldn't mind the 3-day weekend. How good is the long weekend when you get one of those? Really does refresh you. The bigger question then, as the idea of a 3-day weekend gathers a little bit of momentum, is would we be as efficient as a workforce? Would our workforce be enhanced if we were better rested? If we spent more time with our family, would be more positive, and then on the remaining 4 days of the week, would that mean that we would achieve all of our targets and would businesses continue to be profitable, productive? Morris Misolowski is a leading business futurist and joins us right now. G'day, Morris.
G'day, Peter.
First of all, mate, bit of history, I think. I was just talking to Gary Adshead, of course, from Mornings when we do the crossover, and just asking about the origins of the 5-day sort of 9-to-5 working week. Can you give us a little bit of a history lesson and tell us where it came from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not all that old. We really only started working that way around the Industrial Revolution. It made sense when we started to move off the land and into the cities that we all had to get together at a particular time and space to make something happen. And that was really the beginning of our 9-to-5. Weekends were sacrosanct because of religious reasons, and that's why we had our Saturday and Sunday. But as we know, not better or worse, but we've moved on since those days, but our work habits really haven't.
Yeah, in some ways they haven't. It really depends on your industry, doesn't it, Morris? Because I do know that there's lots of people, and perhaps I'm mainly around me, a journalist and the like, and there's lots of other people in similar type industry where there is no me time, there is no family time. You can also be on the weekend checking your emails, doing all those sorts of things. But there are also a lot of people still in the main 9-to-5.
Yeah, and you're right. And I don't think we're ever going to change to a time, at least I hope not, where everybody has to do something. So we will have many people that will work 9-to-5 for many years to come. Makes sense for hospitals, for retail, for other spaces where the expectation is really that they need to be available as people come and go. But for other jobs, other careers, other ways of work, I don't think we're going to work 9-to-5 as much anymore. We're going to work more about project and task, getting things done in the most appropriate space, time and place.
And do you think that if we go to a more task-based employment, Morris, that our efficiency will be as good, our productivity will be as good, and ultimately the profitability will be there? Because at the end of the day, if businesses aren't making money, then we don't have jobs.
I think it does. It really comes back to the human nature. And we have to believe that as workers, we are willing to put our best foot forward. We're willing to work diligently and do what we need to do. for most people, you know, the first couple of days or whatever is kind of like a kid in a lolly store. You know, we love it and we might watch a bit more TV or listen to a bit more radio. But with good work habits, and I know we have to grow these, with good work habits, we really can work to project and task. And many, many jobs are being done that way now. In fact, many of the things you and I and the listeners come in contact with and the people we come in contact with have worked this way for many years.
Morris, I think most people would enjoy more time with the family. Not everyone, but most people certainly enjoy more time with the family. We've sort of lost that as a community, haven't we? You know, a lot of both parents work. A lot of people have two jobs. It's a constant juggle, so we don't spend as much time just relaxing as a family. And that time together, surely that's got to be productive for work also.
I think it's a terrible thing that we've lost connection with the family. Technology has something to do with that. It certainly does, because it's meant work has followed us home more than it would have before. But a lot of that comes down to you and I, or me in particular, having bad habits, that we allow emails and things to encroach on us. If and when we move into this new time, I think that what we're going to be able to do, and I'm seeing it with a whole lot of people, is that we can actually go back and go to the school concert on a Thursday morning, or go and watch our kids play on a Wednesday afternoon in some inter-school sport. And that's because we're not tied to that 9-to-5. We know the job has to get done. We've put away time or effort to get it done, but we're going to use this particular time to watch basketball or to watch the ballet or something with our kids. And all of the people in our family can come together at a particular time that might not be Sunday afternoon. It might be some other time. So I think flexibility has to play a part in more of our lives. Again, not everybody, but more of our lives.
Morris, there's no system that's 100% perfect. I think everyone sees that. But in your study, in your research, have you seen cultures or countries or communities that have a system where the family is still paramount, and because of that time spent together, productivity also doesn't have to be a cost?
I think it comes down to communities rather than cultures and countries. It really comes down to a community that wants to be together. Often you find that the communities that are more perhaps religiously based or more community based in that sense, or more tailored around the family, are ones that enjoy that time and look for ways to have more of that family time together. I think it comes down to a cultural shift, and we've gone too far in the last couple of decades, too far in the way of work becoming more important than it needs to be. Of course, many of us are struggling to put food on table,
yeah,
to pay mortgages. I get that, and the pragmatism of it makes 100%. But we're human beings still. We need to find that oasis. And I still argue in this report, and having spoken to many people across, that if we're able to actually pick and choose time, it would in fact make it easier for the whole family to get together, to find that one time that suits everybody, rather than trying to shoehorn everybody into a time that they might not be able to get time off or be able to do other things in.
Certain industries have already used this flexibility, Morris, there's no doubt about that. But then when you consider some other industries, it's going to take a pretty brave employer, isn't it, who's going to allow his workforce or her workforce to change to a task-based system rather than the old check-in at 9 and out the door at 5 days a week.
We're already seeing it, though, across the top end of town, to speak. We're seeing it with the large corporations that are allowing their people to do it again. They've got really good, strong ideas of where their people are and what they're doing and what work needs to be done and how. All those things are still measured. This is not about Alice in Wonderland stuff. They're really very, very responsible for doing it. But for instance, they've got less, they don't need as much space in for their offices. They've got 10 desks instead of 20 desks, because people come and go and share.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that across a number of industries already. It's not unusual for the building industry, for instance, to work really hard for a couple of weeks and have an RDO off perhaps on a Monday, which again takes us back to that 3-day a week, but that's evidence of it. So it's not unusual for many of your listeners to perhaps work a bit more of an evening or come in a bit earlier and then take some time off later on in the week or store it up for holidays. So we're seeing already that society can cope with it. We just have to make it more of a mainstream conversation. Again, for those tasks and those workspaces where it makes sense.
Morris, thanks for your time this afternoon.
A pleasure.
Morris Michalowski, leading business futurist. Well, over to you, 9221882. Look, I know a lot of people are out there doing it tough, and it seems strange having this conversation after Gary's been talking about work for the dole, obviously. Not everyone has the benefit of having a steady income, steady job. But I'm really looking at the angle of, are you in a workforce, or do you have a boss, or are you the boss? Do you allow flexibility with your staff? 9221882. Do you allow some of your staff to work from home? Do you prefer to work on a sort of a task base rather than say, you're just responsible for this, I want an outcome in 2 or 3 weeks, go away and do it, and then I'll give you the next gig after that. 9221882. So you allow the work from home, do you allow people to, perhaps they don't like being on the freeway, so they want to start at 6:30 in the morning and leave at 3 to pick up the kids afterwards. I mean, that's a popular one. I've often thought that if there was that real time pressure and I had to be in at work at 9 o'clock, I'd do everything I could to negotiate an earlier start and an earlier, I guess, leave time as well, because just that downtime on the freeway. 9221882 is the number I'm looking for. Whether you actually think, do you think that you can be as productive as ever with less time actually at work, if you're in a better headspace, for example, if you're allowed a bit more time with the family and weren't under the same pressure, or do you think, no, it's the current system, it's the best way to go, and that's the way it will be and always should be. 9221882.
Breakfast with Steve.